In some ways, from a preaching standpoint, Palm Sunday is one of the strangest and most difficult days of the year. In spite of life's complexities, or perhaps because of them, I think something deep within us longs for the neat, longs for the simple. Unfortunately, life is rarely simple. The Palm Sunday story is a story that is filled with paradox. Palm Sunday, on the one hand, marks our Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. On the other hand, it opens the week that leads to his arrest and his trial, and eventually his death. It might be this week would be called the high water mark of Jesus' popularity. But it also signals the beginning of the end, at least as far as his earthly life was concerned. It's this complexity, this paradox, that makes Palm Sunday so strange and so difficult. I mean, we all know how to treat Christmas and Easter. Those are happy times, unmitigated by sadness of any sort. And we all know how to treat Good Friday. It's completely solemn, if not bleak. Those days on the Christian calendar are simple and predictable, but not Palm Sunday. This day contains such a mixture of good and bad, of joy and sadness, of acceptance and rejection, that we scarcely know what to make of it. And in the long run, we can only affirm it. Affirm the good and the bad. Affirm the joy and the sadness. Affirm the acceptance and the rejection. Affirm them because all of them are real and none of them can be denied. Affirm them because life itself is a paradox. And so are we. I think in our fantasies we would like to deny that. We'd like to think that if we had been there, we would have stuck by Jesus all the way. Just like those good guys in the white hats. We could ask ourselves how those people could have done what they did. How could they have shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday and cried out, "Crucify him" on Good Friday? How could they have seen his miracles and heard his teachings and not recognized who he was? How could they have done what they did? If only we had been there. Well, we were there, you and I. We were there when he rode into Jerusalem, just as the prophet Zechariah predicted. We saw him riding that donkey, both meek and majestic at the same time. We heard the crowds cheering and yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed who he is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And you know what? We yelled too. You and I, we yelled and we ran and we gathered up those palm branches and we strewed them in his way. We were there. And we were there when he cleansed the temple, turning over the tables of the money changers, throwing out those who were using the things of God for their own profit. And like the others, we began to wonder if maybe he wasn't just too radical, a bit too demanding. We were there when he said those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And our fears grew, Because we love this world and all of its pleasures, and the last thing we want to do is to give them up. We were there when someone asked him about paying tribute to Caesar. We could hardly believe our ears when he answered, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." We were furious that he didn't share our hatred of the enemy. And we were there when he attacked the scribes and the Pharisees and called them hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. We got angrier and angrier, and he was condemning our most respected leaders. We were there when he called us killers of the prophets. And when he made unrealistic demands that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. We were there when he said that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Imagine that. Our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, I know we read all that in the Torah. Of course, it sounds very idealistic. But this fanatic actually believes it. What's even worse, he expects us to believe it too. No, more than that, he expects us to live that way. This man that we thought had come to help us, to take our side against our enemies, to tell us how good we are, and to give a blessing to the way we live, the way we've always lived, the way we want to keep on living. We thought he was our friend, but he wants to turn our whole world upside down. We trusted him and he betrayed us. He can just go away, get rid of him, crucify him. We were there. Not in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But this past week, right here in Milwaukee. We were there when we decided to use our education and our training not for the greater good, but in selfish ways. We were there when we passed along that rumor that hurt someone else. We were there when we made those countless little decisions as to how we spend our time and how we spend our money. We were there when we had a chance to help someone else, but we were too busy with our own concerns. We were there when we glanced at the Bible lying unused on the bookshelf, but we were too busy to read it. We were there when we went day after day without taking time for prayer, for time for fellowship with God. We were there when we put ourselves first, and we put God and others last. We were there. For you see, we too are a paradox. We're not hypocrites. We're not phonies. We're a paradox. Our faith is real. We do love God. When we shout Hosanna, we really mean it. When we come to church, we really do feel good about God here. Our hearts are honestly stirred within us when we sing the great hymns of our faith. Or hear a good sermon or listen to the wonderful music that we're blessed with. That part of us is real. But our rebellion is also real. Our selfishness, our anger, our smugness, our willingness to exploit others and to fight like crazy when anyone tries to change us. We were there. We are there. But we don't have to stay there. We can hear our Master's words spoken from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And knowing that we're forgiven, we can dare to work with God to strengthen that Hosanna side of our lives. As the Apostle Paul wrote, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we celebrate with Connie Little as she celebrates the birth of her grandson, Rowan Lewis Haas, who was born on the 5th of March. And Rowan was born to Connie's son, Eric Haas, and his wife, Kayla. We also continue to surround with our prayers Philip Jacoby, who's beginning another round of chemotherapy, and Jeff Daly, who's recovering from a broken ankle out of the home. Let us remember these and the unspoken loved ones of your hearts and your minds in silent prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, as we gather here on this Palm Sunday to worship together, hear our prayers. As we pray this morning, we ask that you give to us the strength and the courage to tackle whatever it is we have to do in life. Make us steadfast enough to hang on when it's hard to do what is right. Give us, we pray, the courage to follow your call, whatever the circumstances. We pray, Lord, that we might be as steadfast in our faith as was your Son Jesus. We pray that we might be as accepting and loving of others as He taught us to be. We give you thanks, Lord, that you care for all of life, including each of ours. We are glad that you're not aloof or removed from the suffering and the traumas of this world. And we pray this day, Lord, for peace in our troubled world. As we approach the events of this most special week, we ask that you help us to remember their impact. Help each of us to grow in our understanding of these events. And so, Lord, make this Palm Sunday a day of greater self-understanding and growth, that we may go forth from our time of worship as stronger servants of you and your kingdom. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.